Good morning, church. Good to see you today. We're going to talk about the church, the early church, the first church, the great model for all of us to follow. And I've titled my thoughts today, Options or Essentials. And if we think there are any options in this list, we are being deceived, because this was the model that God meant for the church to be all throughout the ages. In 1988, my wife and I moved here from California, and God called us to a church here in town, and we had to make a lot of choices, so we looked around. We came for a weekend and preached and all that kind of thing, and looked around and looked at the community, and usually a good community has a lot of variety. It has the social services, it has good schools, protective services, all the amenities you want, health, fitness clubs, that kind of thing. And Starbucks, of course, is my number one deal that my wife was looking at, or a good bunch of coffee shops around. And that sounds like a pretty good community to come to, right? What's missing? What's missing in that list? Good churches. Good churches. One thing is missing, is great churches that dot the landscape, and now you've got a healthy community where people can go to worship and be a part of the community. I want to set the scene here in Acts chapter 2. We have just seen this incredible Pentecost, the beginning of the church, in the previous verses in Acts chapter 2. 50 days after the resurrection is Pentecost. 10 days after his ascension is Pentecost. This is the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the apostles. Imagine being there when this great 120 in the upper room meeting, and this great sound of wind coming down from heaven, and tongues of fire landing on, or what appeared to be tongues of fire on landing on them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke in different languages. Pentecost was the birth of the New Testament church, the anointing, the filling of the Holy Spirit, and then Peter preaches a powerful sermon, and 3,000 people come to Christ through faith. What an incredible experience. And what we're about to delve into in verses 42 to 47 are the essentials of a New Testament church that should function today as it did back then. I like what Henry Ford said. He said, "Coming together is the beginning, keeping together is progress, and working together is success." That happens in the church as well. Serving and working together, we build his church. We build his kingdom that will be caught up with him to meet the Lord in the air. By the way, we have an outline for you. In order not to daydream, I still do this. I've been a pastor for like 40 years, and I still take notes myself, and it keeps me focused. So I encourage you to take out your pen and paper. You might hear something that's worth writing down. I want you to hear this. At the end of the sermon today, we're going to talk about erasing death. Isn't that good news? You're a skeptic, and I know I would be too. But we can erase death if we hear God speak to us. That happened in the New Testament church. And three times in this text, in just these few verses, we have the word together. Church is a spiritual family related to one another because our common faith in Jesus Christ. God is our Father, and we call each other brothers and sisters. We find this model for all healthy relationships, families, and the essence of what real community looks like. Imagine a community without a church. That would be devastating. So we see that screenshot. I've already probably shown it to you about the church. Maybe you already did that. Yep, there it is. The Acts of the Apostles. That's the basic outline. We're in chapter 1 through 8, actually chapter 2, and it talks about Paul's journeys and the key chapter of the book. It's a wonderful, wonderful outline there. But now I want to talk to you about being a good, finding a model for all healthy relationships. I have on the table here a clay, hunk of clay I made about 55 years ago when I was in probably ninth grade. Can you tell what it is? What? It's a hunk of clay, isn't it? What is it? Wrestlers, you got it. I thought nobody would get it. They would not get this. This isn't a very good model. It's just basically what I thought it would look like. I did do a little wrestling in high school. But our model is something that's crystal clear. You'll see it without a doubt. Some of you might look at that and say it's just a hunk of clay. But it's really, really two wrestlers wrestling and reminded me of what I did when I was in high school. So today we're going to look at what the church ought to be. A model that should never, ever change. This is the essentials for what the church ought to become. And the Church of Jerusalem was an amazing church. We're going to see how we match up, how we step up to be the church that God will use to reach our community. So let's read together verses 42 to 47. Last time I was reading a different text. So let's read this together. Would you join me? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. I say, when I was 15 years of age, I'm so glad in the turbulent 60s that God reached down and saved my soul. Rough times back then with the riots and things happening all over the country, but now no difference. There's rioting going on today as well. But this is the key to church unity and church mission. We were created to belong. We weren't created to be lone rangers or isolated. This whole pandemic that has isolated our entire world has been difficult to go through. It's not normal. I'm so glad these bans are being lifted. Aren't you? It feels like a breath of fresh air. People are getting the vaccine and they're feeling better about that. And the numbers are going down. And finally, we can go back. It's been devastating to everyone. Economy, jobs. It's unreal. We were meant to be together. We were meant to socialize. And there are four dynamic characteristics that spell a healthy family and healthy churches. And even Jesus prayed for this unity, this oneness in the Lord's Prayer to his Father in John 17. He said, I have given them the glory that you gave me, Father, that they may be one. I and them, and Father, you and me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. That's the Lord's Prayer to his Heavenly Father. That would be our prayer as we unify together to do what God has called us to do. And unity is the key to world evangelism and an expanding, growing congregation, church, and family. Churches, what a model. And so, the very first characteristic that was the dynamic of the New Testament church in Jerusalem is their motive, or their reason. Their reason is their motive. What they did was out of devotion, and they were devoted to the teaching. They were devoted to truth and devoted to fellowship. And that one word, "devote" in the Greek, is actually translated continuing steadfastly. That's what that Greek word means, to continue steadfastly. And so that's really what devotion is. You're not going to quit. You're not going to back off. You're going to continually do what God has called us to do because we're devoted. It's a heart word. remaining by their side. You're never going to leave nor forsake. Those words are used in our marriage vows. I'll never leave or forsake. It's a word of intensely being strong towards either someone, that ought to be your spouse, or the truth. Those are the thoughts here. Are we devoted like that? I know most mothers, every mother I've ever met, is devoted. It's not a duty, it's an absolute devotion, because bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, and we have two little young ones here, 3 weeks old and just a couple of months. It's amazing how God grows the church, even that way, of course. But 24/7, a mother is hovering, watching, nurturing, thinking of what they're going to feed them, being alert, dreaming about the future, wondering, listening to their changes, and planning and correcting, warning and praising, and it goes on and on and on. And the evidence of that devotion is all through this text here. And the evidence of true faith is devotion to the Word. It's not taking it lightly. It's literally, you know, reading it all the time, every day and many times throughout the day. That's what this is all about. It's being fed. We come to worship, and we have a great worship experience here. I just absolutely love the words of the Scriptures between the songs, don't you? It focuses on all of God's Word. We're inspired and instructed, and we fellowship together. And our small group that I'm in, we fellowship together, and we even eat together. Don't tell anybody. I might be breaking some kind of a ban, but we eat together. We do. That's right. And it's what we ought to be doing. We come together to pray. An intimate expression of love in His church. Many times we pray for our kids, and we pray, men's groups pray together, and youth group prays together, and women's groups. And so prayer is a big deal. Prayer is our intimate spiritual connection and communication with our Heavenly Father, just like you communicate with your spouse. Because it changes us. We don't change God. God is unchangeable, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has got a plan that has been set before the ages began. He chooses His bride, just like you chose your bride. Doesn't that make sense? He's without change. He doesn't change, we do. And He changes us through prayer. Do you pray together with your loved ones? I trust that you pray with your kids at night before they go to bed. What a great way to close the day. You pray with your wife throughout the day. You have fellowship together. This time on Sunday morning. If this is the extent of your spiritual life, you need to ramp it up dramatically. If this is all that you do spiritually, you need to ramp it up dramatically. You're just the tip of the iceberg of what God would have for you in your life. And you want more. You hunger for more. I'll never forget my son and I did a study the Bible together, hungry for God, or devoted to God, or something like, desiring God, that's right, together when he was in college at Northwestern College. You want more. We all want more. That's our whole culture. You want better car, better this. I want a better relationship with the Lord. And so the reason, our motive is devotion, expressing love to one another. And this is God's agenda. This is what the Bible says, devoted to the teaching, to fellowship, and prayer. Tomorrow morning at 6 a.m., here's your text, men. 6 a.m., we get together for prayer at 6 o'clock in the morning, on Monday morning. It's a great way to start the week, a wonderful way to start the week. And there has been some prayer times that it just was awe-inspiring. You can't put your hand on it exactly, but you just know God's presence is there. We had that time a couple of weeks ago where we prayed for somebody that was going through some serious things, and it was just an absolute sweet, blessed time. My wife and I do a devotional every day, and we're in one right now called the Covenant Home Altar. We found it tucked away in a chest, a big trunk, big one, that came from the old country when my wife's family came over, and little baby shoes that are literally teeny little ones, antique, and all kinds of pictures. And we found this one from 1944 in this chest, 1944. They put everything in the thing. So 1944, we are reading through a devotional. And what was 1944? For you young people, it was World War II. And it's amazing what we learn from what was going on in 1944. We think we have it bad. This is nothing compared to World War II. Devotion is much more intense than duty. I have a duty to, you know, as a little Boy Scout, that motto that you say is, I will do my duty to God and country, to obey the scout law. We have a duty, we have a devotion beyond duty. You have a duty to pay your bills. You have a duty to pay off your mortgage, 30 years or 15, whatever it is. But ours is devotion. Devotion is a picture word, a word for love for our fellow brothers and sisters. We are devoted to one another, to family. I love that word, devoted. In a minute, we'll talk about what Abraham Lincoln said in 1863. Colossians 4:2 says, we are devoted to prayer. That's why we come on Monday morning. If I can get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to go to work or get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to go hunt, I can certainly get up at 5 o'clock to be here by 6 o'clock to come and pray with my brothers and sisters, my brothers in Christ. Romans 12:10, it says, be devoted to one another. It's a love word. That's why we get together, because we love one another. That's what 42 says. They are of one heart. They were of one mind. Experiencing unity, fellowship, the koinonia, the communion, literally the communion, the Lord's Supper. That is what I see here after church on Sunday when it's over. We hang out for a little while. Why? I don't know what's going on in your life. We're going to ask, you can give prayer requests. You can get meetings. We'll see you at small group, or we'll see you on Microsoft Teams or whatever you're meeting. We love one another. That's what it's all about. We're devoted to the teaching that leads to the next thing, fellowship, breaking of bread into prayers. Then everyone, it says in verse 43, was filled with awe. I love that word, awe. It's that wow. That's that wonder. That's that amazement. That's a great word. And some translations say phobos, the Greek word phobos, a reverential fear of God as providential guide in my life. And signs and wonders, things were happening there. People were getting healed. That's what devotion does when we are devoted to His word and to one another. Question, is that optional? That's my title. Is this one optional? No. These things are not optional. These are the common DNA of the Holy Spirit residing in our lives. I want to be here. I don't have to go to church. I get to come to church. That's right. And so this is a devotion. That's a motive. And now we add another one to that. The second dynamic of this incredible church, this church that everyone was connected to the mission. And their mission was their dedication. To be dedicated to something. To say, I'll be there. You can count on me. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is a dedication of caring for one another and sharing what God has given to us. It's not holding it tight. It's not, you know, this greedy mentality. It is sharing what God has given to us. And when I think of the number that was raised for our building, 600 and some odd thousand and only a few thousand left to make our budget, our goal for our program, our project, this is an action word, our mission. Caring for one another, the rule or the uniqueness of every dynamic family in the church working together, dedicated. This is practical Christian living. Last Wednesday, we talked about dedication and mission and calling. We had some, I don't know, 40 kids here for Awana Club, and they were making bread. And there had to be somebody behind the scenes getting somebody to do the bread, and all the logistics of making that thing happen, and all the tables getting set up, and all that working together so that kids would have a wonderful experience and hear the Word of God on Wednesday night. This is practical living. And in this text, three times, just in this little 42 to 47, there are three times that the word together is mentioned. And the first rule of community health in the church, it's like that old movie we saw, if you build it, they will come. If you build it, they will come. What was that movie, remember? Field of Dreams. I say this in the church. If you feed them, they will come. This church ate together all the time. So ladies and gentlemen, put this in your Bible, write this down. This is the Bible doctrine of potlucks. That's what this really is. That's the Bible doctrine of potlucks. Bring it back. We love it when we get together, and I love to eat your food, and you eat my wife's food, and you wouldn't want to eat mine, but that's another story. They just love being around each other. I do. When I see somebody I haven't met, or maybe I've met them and I forgot their name, then I get a little tense. I don't know who they are, but I know they've been here for a while. We all go through that. Don't let that stop you. Go over and meet somebody. Meet them again for the first time. Happens to me a lot. And honestly, now there's a pause here for a warning. So we have all this devotion and we have this dedication. And now there's a warning. Because if you read through the whole Bible, you find about some of the churches that didn't do so well. And it absolutely breaks your heart. Just like there are some pastors that haven't done so well, Christian leaders that haven't done so well in our recent months. You've heard of them. The fall of evangelical leaders. It just absolutely breaks your heart because the testimony of the Lord has been harmed. But the one sign of a dying culture and a dying church is a lukewarm formalism. A lukewarm formalism, just going through the motions. It's just what we do. We go to church. But then one day, that lukewarm formalism will turn into all-out apostasy. Do you know what that means? That means a falling away from the truth. To accept the lies of the world. Paul said, be careful, let any man spoil you through human tradition and philosophies of the world. They're all empty. Some are good for a point or one picture. Enjoy yourself, deny yourself, know thyself, but they're not complete. Laodicea, I hate to say, was a church that nothing good was said of it. No commendation, but lots of rebuke to the Laodicean church. The city of Corinth that Paul started on his second missionary journey, it was only 23 years later that they became like the community. Corinth was the Las Vegas of Greece. 23 years. And Paul had to write a whole book to correct the evil and the wickedness in the church. I'm glad he did. And we all need correction from time to time. Five out of the seven churches of Asia Minor in Revelation chapter 1 through 3 were churches that needed some help, needed some changing. But this church at Jerusalem, they gave as they had the needs, just like you are. We express a need, and God brought in $1,000 for the gilding. They gave as the need arose. The parallel passage of this is two chapters over in Acts chapter 4, where it says, there was no needy person among them. They sold their houses and brought money to the apostles' feet, and distribution was made. They pooled their resources together. It was their compassion fund. Why do we do all that we do? Why do we do all that we do here? It's not out of duty, not an obligation. It's a devotion. I heard about the Special Olympics that were held in Seattle several years ago. And the Special Olympians that were going to run the race, I think it was a 100-yard dash, and all these folks with physical disabilities and emotional disabilities, they wanted to all race, and so they bang, and the gun went off, and they took off, and one boy tripped and stumbled and fell, and he started to cry. And another boy heard the cry, and they all came back to get that one boy who was crying. And they all walked, ran across the finish line, and they all won. Just blesses your heart. That's what we do. We have a compassion fund. We want to help each other in the journey of life. If somebody stumbles, I love our pastor. He says he's a good guy. But when somebody stumbles in life and messes up and does something wrong, and our pastor in his graciousness embraces everyone. Amen? Amen. He did, and he does. Is this optional? No. Have you noticed somebody missing lately? Haven't seen him in a long time? Don't let the elders do it all. If you miss somebody, you give them a call. I've done it. Hey, where you been? Oh, we're online because of COVID. And you've maybe heard that yourself. But we care. Compassion. This is not an option. That's number two. Not an option. Number three, in this dynamic church, the characteristic is their ministry was a delight. Write that down. Their ministry was a delight. Everyone, every day, delighted in one another. They were so close, they continued to meet together in the temple courts and in their homes and invited each other for fellowship. And I'm focusing on verse 46, where it's their motives, with glad and sincere hearts. They were jubilant. It means to be greatly exalt somebody greatly. It's a winsome display of the spiritual Pentecostal Holy Spirit filling in their lives. Joyfully radiant people. They couldn't keep it in. They had to let it out. Now we have an audience here of Scandinavians. I'm one too. We're typically a little bit more reserved, you know. And we don't kind of get really excited about a lot of stuff. Except a football game, maybe. No, we get excited about what God's doing here. How does this delight happen? It happens through an infusion on a regular basis of spiritual fruit in our lives, yielding to the fruit of the Spirit, love, the joy, the peace. It's an expression of spiritual life that has been born by God. Jesus said, you must be born again. You must be born of the Spirit. John said the same thing in 1 John several times. He said, we must be born of God or born of the Spirit. That's the key. Or yielded to the Spirit. I am blessed that in 1974, my first church was, I was a youth pastor in Pekin, Illinois, and we had a Christian school, and I taught Bible there, and we started a Monday evening Bible Institute for college credit. It was a wonderful time, and we got together after church on Sunday night, so we had Sunday morning, Sunday school, church, afternoon, youth group, and then evening service, and then after evening service, we didn't go home. Somebody invites you to their home. This is a different culture back then. It really is. It really was. And we would stay at somebody's house, sing a few more songs, and share a little bit. We'd call them testimonies back then. And we would share our lives with people that were there, invited to the home. And there was tons of those going on. Our church was about 1,200, 1,500 or so. And we had buses bringing kids in. It was absolutely phenomenal. First experience for a young man coming out of seminary. A lively, evangelistic, Spirit-filled church. That's what this was. And now we come to the fourth one. They delighted. They were glad to be together. They were jubilant. Now number four, the last one. Ready for this? Write this down. Erasing death. What are you talking about, Pastor? Is that heresy? We'll ask Nick when he gets back. No, it's not heresy. This is a display of grace and praise. Verse 47. They were praising God, it says, and finding favor or having favor with all the people. All the people were expressing praise and giving grace to one another on a regular basis. A display of grace to each other. I want you to listen to a story by a man named Al Masters. Al Masters lived in eastern Pennsylvania. He was married and they had a little boy. And he owned a small business. He considered himself very blessed. And then just before Christmas, a few years back, his little boy was killed by a 15-year-old driving without a license. Al was crushed with grief. And that grief filled him with a desire for revenge. And he wanted justice. He wanted him to be brought to the full power of the law. But because he was a juvenile, he was given a light sentence. Al wanted the book thrown at him. And then on Christmas Eve, his wife got him to go to church to hear the story about the birth of a Savior and peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And then he heard the sermon by the pastor about a need to repent and receive God's grace for his forgiveness, and he trusted Christ. He left the church. A few days later, he set out to find out more about that boy who killed his son. He discovered that that boy had come from a broken home. His mother was a hopeless alcoholic. And finally, Al, a few days later, went over to see the boy and meet him. God softened his heart. And then an unbelievable thing occurred. Al gave the boy a job in his own shop. That's what grace does. He wanted vengeance. He wanted justice. Because of his own salvation, now he wants to give grace to the boy that killed his son. So before Christ, justice. After Christ, grace. Isn't that what we all need? We all need grace. I'm not the judge. You're not the judge. I'm to give grace and love to everybody. There's grace in salvation. There's grace in growing. Now I want to show you some slides that emulate this very thought about grace. We need the gospel. We need a clear understanding of the gospel. And so John 3:16, let's read that together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Now the next one. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the Son of God. If we don't know the Lord as Savior, we stand before a holy God condemned already. We are dead in our trespasses and sins. But death can be erased. Spiritual death can be erased by being born of His Spirit, understanding our condemnation, our guilt before a holy God. We will pay for our sin, in separation from God forever, or we can, that's what that says. And then the next one, here's the good news. For all have sinned, and the wages of sin is death. And after that, there's the judgment. And Christ died for our sins and made peace through the blood of the cross. He was buried, he rose again, and whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. And this church displayed the gospel of grace. That's why 3,000 people came to Christ. It was the work of the Holy Spirit in the hearts of people. It was the work of the Spirit in Al Masters, who once wanted justice, but now he gave the boy grace. And now I want us to see this last one before I read a little bit about Abraham Lincoln. The single most important thing in life is a loving relationship with God. Can you think of anything more important than that? I can't. I can't. You might want to modify that and say relationship with God through Jesus Christ, but that's more important than anything. Abraham Lincoln did say it well. On your outline, bottom, it says, here's what he said at the inaugural or the dedication of the Gettysburg Memorial. This is while the Civil War was still going on, by the way. Remembering those that have given their life. Reminds me what Christ did. It is for the living to be dedicated to the unfinished work. That's us. In our day. It is for the living to be dedicated to the unfinished work, dedicated to the task. We take great increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion. Jesus gave his last full measure because he loved us so. That's the gospel. Death can be erased. That sums it all up. Only by God can it be erased. Spiritual death is erased by spiritual birth. And praise God, one day, physical death may be erased and never experienced if Jesus comes back for the rapture of the church and he takes us out of here. I don't know about you, but I believe in the any moment return of Jesus Christ. He could come back today. I don't know when he's coming, but I do know he's coming because he said he was. He says, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Whew. We're out of here. I think it could be today. Could be tomorrow. This is the gospel. I was a part of the church when I was a kid that was so cool. And I remember singing the song every Sunday night about 10:20 p.m. after our singspiration. Our youth pastor said, now Monday, kids, you go back to school, and you're to be a light in that school. And we would sing this one as the last song. And I'll just read it. Here's the song. I know the melody like it's my own, but I mean like my best. Here's his. It's this. Lead me to some soul today. Teach me, Lord, just what to pray, what to say. Friends of mine are lost in sin and cannot find their way. Few there are who seem to care, and few there are who pray. Melt my heart and fill my life. Give me one soul today. The Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise. Now, I know that I don't win a soul. I don't win anybody. It's the Lord and his word that does the job. Amen? It's his word that changes people's hearts. But I get the privilege of sharing that. You do too. I get to be a care partner at a business in town. Pretty big company. I mean, it's huge. Big one down by the river, you know. I get to go down there and help people with their problems, whether it's depression or anxiety or addiction or grief or divorce or whatever. And then after that, if the door opens, I get to share about the love of God. We do too. You do too every single day, is to share this wonderful display of God's grace to everybody. And these are the dynamics of a healthy church. Let's step it up and increase it here even more. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you that you loved us in our sin. While we were dead in trespasses and sin, you made us alive in Christ. Now, Lord, open doors for us to share God's love and truth with others, that these dynamic principles that were in the Church of Jerusalem will continue to flourish here at Stillwater Free. It's his precious name we pray. Amen. Before he closes us, you could take this and give it to your person that you're concerned about, and let the word do the work. One side of it is Piper talking about profound grace, and on the other side is my favorite gospel presentation, Ephesians chapter 2, and let the word do it. If the word could do it for me a long time ago, the word will do it for the ones you're trying to share the gospel with as well. God bless you all.